Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Victorious in defeat of
terrible day, terrible conflict between peoples of Japan and the United States. And one of the things we want to talk about tonight is how, you know, does reconciliation come about? You know, from 1941 to 2012, how has the relationship between the United States and Japan, how has it evolved into what it appears to be a reconciliation? And how does that take place? How does that affect us? How do we get there? Is that something that, you know, that type of reconciliation, is it good for us? Is it bad for us? Is it something that we should seek to live peaceably with all men, to be able to reconcile with our enemies and live in peace? Is that something that we see as important? And is there something that we as a country or we as a people still seek after? So that's our conversation tonight, is, you know, is reconciliation still a viable resource? Is reconciliation still something that is to be sought after? And is it still valuable? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So if you want to get in on the conversation, as always, you can call in at 347-324-5569. That number is 347-324-5569. And as always, we thank everyone who continues to listen in and support us here at Pastors AFDC. We thank you for all of your support. We thank you for all of your continued positive feedback. And as always, if you want to get us, you can get us by tweet, and you can feed us at PACDC316, or you can also get us at Facebook by going to Pastors A, it's PASTORFAID, and we'll be glad to be a part of the conversation with you in those social media networks. So we're inviting you to let us know what you think about the show, what do you think about some of the subjects we're covering, and possibly if there's something that you would like to see us cover. We had a great time in our Peanuts pilot on yesterday evening, our Thursday night Bible study with Pastor C and Sheila G and Dr. G, our biblical expert. We were talking about grace last night, and it was a great topic, and all of you who would like to hear our discussion, interactive Bible study from last night, we invite you to go to our archives on-demand section, and you can get there by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Pastor's Aid and scroll down to the on-demand section, and the title is Peanuts Pilot 10. And we're talking about grace. Great subject. I'm sure everyone would enjoy it. So if you want to hear that broadcast or any of our previous broadcasts, we invite you to go to that website and scroll down to the on-demand section. So we have a great night in store. Again, just wishing son a happy birthday, and talking about Pearl Harbor Day. Talking about what happened on December 7th, 1941, the year of our Lord, and talking about the speech by FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the next day to the Joint Session of Congress, and declaration of war that was declared within that same day against the Japanese Empire. And discussing how we have come in these 70 years from being at war to being reconciled to each other, where we enjoy great commerce between each other as far as resources and as far as contributions to the world economy. The Japanese have been a very big part of our commerce, and it would seem that we have reconciled greatly. We are no longer have such a great military, and down through the years, the United States have lent them aid to rebuild their country and their peoples, cities, and we have worked together in many, many areas, and Japan has become a friend of the United States, and that has come from a long way from December 7, 1941, into the war of World War II and the ending of the war by the dropping of the atomic bomb on Japan, two bombs that were dropped, and they were devastating blows to the Japanese Empire that forced them to surrender and to the terms that the United States had offered them. And it was a very, very difficult time in the lives of our country. A lot of brave men and women shed blood, a lot of anger, a lot of hostility had arisen. And I believe even some today still have hostility and anger over what has happened. But many reflect back and on loved ones and what happened to the country, and just thank God that we were able to make it through it, and that it's better to live in peace with your neighbor than to be at war with them. So that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about a reconciliation. We're trying to see if it's still something we seek, if it's something that's important to us, if it's something that we as a people, as a nation, still need in our lives. And is it something that we would rather be at war, we'd rather be at odds or friction with our neighbor more than we would to be reconciled? But it seems that it's proven out, at least in the case of Japan, that we are better as allies and working together. Many of us know that we consume Japanese products, and they are part of our commerce, part of our economy. Many of their automobile plants are in the United States, and they make cars. And, many of us drive Japanese cars, and you know, there's all kind of electronics that come out of Japan, and they are part of our makeup. And we some kind of way have gotten from being bombed and at war, and bombing and being at war, to being in a place now where we are consumers of each other's products. And it's amazing what can happen in 71 years. And no one in their right mind probably would have thought that this time would be after the attack on Pearl Harbor and after the atomic bombs dropping on the cities in Japan. And you know, you can say what you will, but we've come a long way, baby, as the saying goes. And it came through the brokered surrender and terms that were offered to Japanese Empire at that time, and adhering to those things and helping to help them rebuild, and forging types of relationships. Took a lot of hard work, took a lot of people willing to get past the injuries that occurred, whether it was on the Japan side or the Japanese side or the United States side. Injuries have occurred. And, you know, that's one of the hardest things to get through or get over to get to a place of reconciliation is dealing with the injuries that have occurred, meaning that each party has been injured in a way. And in order to get to reconciliation, there has to be a party or parties that would be willing to, yes, acknowledge the injury, but realize that the injury should not dictate how we respond or behave in the future. Because if injury did dictate how we respond or behave in the future, we would always be at war. We would never broker any type of steps to seek reconciliation. And, you know, that's restoring a proper relationship. So we can't have the idea of, you know, once I've been injured, once I've been hurt, I'm not going to have any type of trying to mend any type of relationship. I'm not going to have any type of trying to get over any type of thing or work anything out and just remain at war and at odds forever. And, you know, that type of thing is happening too many times around the world with peoples on continents around the world, different factions of people who remain at odds or at war with each other generation after generation after generation. And it is nations that have no peace that are constantly at war because of things that have happened, injuries that have occurred, wrongs that have been done. And basically, because of these things, people refuse to seek reconciliation. And so there's a constant state of war, a constant state of unrest, very little peace. And the word reconciliation is far, far from them. And it's something that we can look at as a country and say, you know, we are a peace-loving country. We weren't provoked. We were provoked. We weren't the aggressors. We didn't want to get drawn into World War II, but we were drawn in. We were provoked being attacked. However, once we were attacked, we responded, and we came victorious. But we did not want to oppress people or enslave a people that had attacked us, but we sought reconciliation as a country. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. You know, after you've been injured, after you've been wrong, how do you get back to the proper relationship? Is that valuable? Is that something that we seek after? Is that something that we desire as individuals, as a country, as a nation, collectively and individually? Is that something that we seek as important? Do we think that that's something that goes on around the world or people value around the world, reconciliation? And it's tough. It's tough to be injured, to be wrong, but have the wisdom to be able to say, I can't allow this hurt or this wrong to dictate the rest of my future. And I would say that it's not something that can easily be done. I don't believe reconciliation can easily be done. I don't know all the details that occurred to get us to the point in 2012 where we are very involved with each of the economies. We're friends with each other, but in our past, there have been great injuries to our people. Great numbers of people killed and injured during the initial attacks up to the battles in the Pacific to the dropping of the bombs on Japan. Through that death, through that war, through that turmoil, how did peace come about? And get to this point where we're smiling and can't live without each other. And I believe that's through reconciliation. I believe that's through the process of reconciliation, of dealing with what happened and acknowledging what happened, having remorse for what happened, acknowledging, you know, the wrongs that were done, asking for forgiveness, and being willing to commit to not making those mistakes again, those errors or those offenses again, and willing to forgive and move on. That is a tough thing to do. That is a tough thing to do when you've been hurt, when you've been wounded, when you've been damaged, to be able to get back to a place where you have wholeness and peace again. And some people never get there, and I'm sure there's people on both sides of this incident that happened December 7, 1941, that were won't let go. I'm sure there's some, there's probably in the minority, but I'm sure there's some that won't let go because of positions that they hold. And, you know, that's where we're at as far as reconciliation. It goes to what position you hold. And if you hold a position too strongly one way or the other, I believe that you will never get to a place of reconciliation. So that's what we're talking about tonight. If you want to be a part of the conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We are talking about reconciliation, talking about the events that happened 71 years ago. December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor Day, anniversary of today, talking about how we got from being attacked, being at war, to a point where we have been reconciled with our neighbor in the Gulf region, on the other side of the continent, on the other side of the globe, the nation of Japan, and how that type of reconciliation can be brokered, and we're going to be talking about how can we learn from that, and how we can ourselves learn about reconciliation. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in about 2 minutes.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. Somebody like you, yeah, yeah. Somebody. somebody like you.
There had to be a sense on the part of Japan to say, you know, if we don't surrender, if we don't stop our part on this war front, that we're going to be destroyed, and we will be either enslaved or wiped out, or even worse. And so, and be willing to surrender from their position of war, and be willing to accept the terms that we're giving them to stop and to become a friendly nation. And, you know, on the part of the United States, had to be willing to not utterly destroy them, not enslave them, but to be willing to say, okay, we don't want to take you to the brink. We want you to be a peaceful nation. We want you to survive and thrive and be a part of the global economy, global commerce. And so we will stop bombing. We will stop, you know, our efforts of war, if you will, surrender and abide by these terms. And terms that they were given were terms of living in peace with their neighbor. And so, you know, reconciliation is tough sometimes. Sometimes you have to be willing to admit you're wrong and give up some stuff. And sometimes you have to be willing to not take what you deserve. United States had every right to utterly, you know, wipe out the Japanese nation, but understood that it was better to reconcile and live at peace with the Japanese, and let them rebuild their nation and become a viable part of the global economy. It would be better for that to happen, to live at peace. And so, you know, FDR, you know, waged the war, but you know, many people after 1945 brokered the peace and the building of the relationship. And so, you know, reconciliation sometimes can take years to develop. And what has to happen is the sense of untrust or distrust has to be able to be work through. And it's tough, you know, when you've been wrong by someone or by a nation or something, to build trust again. And, you know, that's one of the things in reconciliation is, it's trying to build a trust where you're saying, okay, I've been wrong, I've been hurt, and in spite of that, I'm going to seek a fresh relationship, a fresh start, in spite of what has been done. And that's a difficult thing because, you know, no one wants to be hurt. No one wants to be damaged. No one wants to be put in a position where they have been wrong. And, you know, but many times we find ourselves in those places. We find ourselves in a position of hurt, a position of deceived, and in position of where we really don't want to be. And, you know, in that, there's some kind of way to find a way to say, you know, I'm not going to be abused anymore. I'm not going to be hurt. I'm not going to be taken advantage of. But at the same time, I don't want to be at war with you for the rest of my life. And, you know, Where do you find that? Where do we find that resolve? Where do we find that attitude that say, you know, I'm not going to allow you to do this to me anymore. I'm going to fight back with everything I have for as long as I can until you realize that I'm not going to be taken advantage of like that. But after you've come to your senses and you realize that I'm not going to take that, that now I'm reaching out to you, wanting to reconcile with you. How do you get there? That is a tough thing. That is a tough thing to say, I am going to seek reconciliation after a brutal war. I'm going to seek reconciliation after a brutal struggle for us to get to the point where we realize that, you know, in order for us to survive, we've got to come to some terms that we can agree with, that we can definitely work it out. So that's a tough position for us to be in. And when you get into that tough position, you have to say to yourself, I can rise above this. I can definitely say to my enemies or to those that are against me at this time that I'm stronger than this, and we can live better together in the midst of turmoil if we seek reconciliation. And, you know, many people have done it. You know, many people have done it. We have not always been the only ones, but many people have done it, and it can be done. And, you know, because it can be done, we have to not fear reconciliation, because, like we said, if you look down through the history of what has happened, what has occurred during the 71 years, the bond between Japan and the United States, it has brokered reconciliation and peace, which has worked out better for both countries, which has worked out better for both people. And, you know, because of that, I think that it's a reasonable thing for us to continue to do is to seek reconciliation, because we can live better with it more than we can without it. So let me know what you're thinking. You can call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And we'll be glad to take your call, see what you're thinking about on this subject. Reconciliation, is it still a valuable resource? Is it still something that we should seek? Is it still something that we should try and keep moving forward, even in the midst of difficult times, difficult situations, difficult relationships, when people have been wounded, when people have been hurt, when people have been wrong, when people have been misused? How in the world can we continue to seek reconciliation? So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. Let us know what you think about this.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Allows us to use this as as a resource that will help us to have wellness in our community or in our lives. The thesis is that reconciliation is better than war when it comes to developing or creating peace and wellness in our community. One of the things that is difficult, we were talking about nations with the advent of Pearl Harbor when the United States was attacked, and the anniversary and what has happened in the last 71 years to bring the two countries together where we are allies and no longer enemies. Our economies are intertwined in the global economy. And we just want to shift a little bit now to, you know, from nation reconciliation to, you know, what kind of reconciliation can happen between husbands and wives. Many people know the statistics that there is more unsuccessful divorces than they are unsuccessful marriages, rather than successful ones. I believe the divorce rate now is close to 53%. 53% of the people that get married end up in divorce. And it seems as if they call this thing irreconcilable differences. In other words, there can't be any reconciliation. In other words, the two entities or the two parties can't come to terms with what they feel is wrong in the relationship, and because they can't come to terms for what they believe is wrong in the relationship, they decide to split and split on the basis of irreconcilable differences. And you know, it's in the wake of many of these divorces. You have families, lives who are forever changed. Some even become devastated, where children are involved. It's very difficult, and it's a tough situation if that type of relationship, marriage, is unable to be reconciled. And you know, many times we've seen where relationships have been reconciled, and that the couple or the people were able to learn how to live in peace in spite of the wrongs that had occurred in the relationship. And you say, wow, what? How difficult is that? How can people get through that when something has happened to them in a relationship, in a marriage, for instance, where they're able to confronted with the person that who has committed the offense and say, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm not going to allow you to do this to me anymore. And, you know, this is a terrible thing. And you need to understand that it's something that's hurt me deeply, something that I have been greatly offended by. And you have damaged my trust, our trust, and our relationship. And, you know, the person that's the person who has been offended, but the offender also has to recognize what they've done and become remorseful for what they have done and seek reconciliation to the person that they have offended. And when you begin to start looking at this process, it's not an easy task. It's not something that can happen overnight. It's not something that can just, you know, with a blink of an eye. But it's a process that has to occur to rebuild the trust, to rebuild the love, to rebuild relationship where you will want to move forward and not move apart. And you know, when you're in that situation, it's difficult. You know, it's easy to look on the outside and you know, try to say, you know, what should be done or what shouldn't be done, but until you're actually in it, until you've actually experienced it yourself, you know, you have very limited knowledge of what's going on, because everyone is different. Everyone hurts differently. Everyone has the ability to forgive. Comes at different times, comes at different paces, in different places. And so, you know, the ultimate thing is to say, yes, I want to seek reconciliation, but it's going to take a minute. It's going to take some time for us to get there. But I believe that through the help of God, through the help of working together, that we can get there and be willing to get there to try to overcome the hurts. One of the things that most other things I've seen in relationships is where one a person goes outside the marriage and is cheating on the other person outside the marriage, and the other person finds out, and it's devastating to the relationship, devastating to the person, devastating to the relationship, devastating to the family. If the children involved, it's devastating to them. But some kind of way, I've seen people able to work their way through this great offense, great abuse and use, and be able to seek reconciliation. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I look, you know, again to the United States and Japan and say, how did we get from that position of being in war, World War II, with all dropping bombs on each other, to the point now where we live in peace with each other? So it was done back then, you know, in the 40s, and, you know, I believe even today that the people are willing to be reconciled for the sake of peace, for the sake of living with each other, for the sake of recognizing that people make mistakes, that nations make mistakes. And if the true are willing to sit down and work it out, that reconciliation can occur. But it's a tough thing, and I don't know where people stand on it. Some people say, if you cheat on me, I'm gone. That's it. Some people, you know, don't know if it happens to them, what they would do. But it's got to be a tough situation, and you know, it's got to be something where someone believes or loves a person enough to want to try to build that trust again, to try to get the relationship back together again, to live in harmony. And it can be done, but it's difficult. And, you know, we're not trying to say that it's impossible, but we're just, you know, recognizing the fact that it's tough. It's a tough thing after you've been injured, after you've been wrong, to want to reconcile. So that's to look at it as from a marital standpoint. How can you look at that person? And every time that person is late for an appointment or something comes up out of the ordinary with that person, how do you deal with that? Not get to the point where immediately you're accusing them of messing up again. You know, if thoughts may come to your mind, it'll probably come to your mind, but how do you get to the point where you're trusting that person again, and you're not accusing that person at every hand? It's a tough situation. It's something where you really have to work at it. And both parties have to work at it going in the right direction in order for it to work. And, you know, with relationships with husbands and wives, it really has to have parties with the person that committed the offense and the person that who was offended. You really have to work at it. And I just don't know how people do it, how people overcome these things. You know, and you see people of high celebrity, high profile who do it. You know, one of the high profile persons that were able to be reconciled in their marriage after one cheated in the marriage was former President William Jefferson Bill Clinton and current Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. Remember when he that was devastating to her. That was devastating to our country. But somehow the way she was able to reconcile with her husband, talking about Secretary Clinton, was able to reconcile with her husband, to then President Clinton, even after the act of the sexual act outside of marriage, to the lies that occurred after the accusations came up by Mr. Clinton, to be able to look at that, to be able to deal with her, to deal with the pain, to deal with the use and the distrust, to be able to say, acknowledge all these things that happened, and yes, they happened, but I want to try to reconcile and try to work this thing out. And you know, it was something that they worked out, and they're still a couple today. And then, you know, the fact of, you know, the trust of the United States with President Clinton, to be able to acknowledge that he messed up, and, you know, to see, you know, even in this past election cycle, that the American people still value him as a valuable person in politics. And for the majority, the most part, people have forgiven and reconciled with him. And you know, even that great shock to our country, you know, and the shock to his wife and the people that were around in his family, some kind of way people were able to reconcile this and get back into the proper relationship, you know, with the person who offended us. That is something that I don't know if it's a mystery that this happens, or is it something that we it's in our DNA to want to reconcile, to want to do this. I think it's that we love peace more than war. I think we love peace more than war. I think we love getting along with each other more than not getting along. I think we enjoy more talking with each other and interacting with each other and being social with each other than not. Because war and distrust and infidelity, it wears on you. It takes a lot out of you. And if you don't deal with it, it becomes an eternal burden or weight on you that you have to deal with that every day. And you have to muster the hate every day. You have to muster the distrust. You have to muster the anger every day. You have to muster that in order to maintain your irreconciled, you know, to be irreconciled. You have to muster something to remain in that situation. So I propose that, you know, it takes more energy to remain irreconciled than it does to be reconciled. That we would be more devastated and not experience wellness and not experience happiness when we are not reconciled. Whereas when we reconcile, we can experience happiness, we can experience renewed trust, renewed commitment, renewed life, and a wellness that can be refreshing and that can build and get strong. But it takes a lot to remain angry, to remain bitter, to remain at odds, to remain at war. And you see that in the Middle East and in Africa and other countries around the world, of how countries and neighbors in the same country remain bitterly angry and hating each other because things that have happened, you know, 40, 50, 60, hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. What has, you know, happened is still being fought and you know, raising children to hate and to be at war with these other factions, and try to say, you know, let bygones be bygones, you know, people bring religion into it and you know, race into it, and, you know, that just fuels the fire. But most children, you know, if you brought them into a playground or play setting or a sandbox, whether they were black, whether they were white, you know, whatever language they were, they understood the universal language of playing and having fun. And you know, children are being taught hatred, you know, behavior is being learned against nation, against nation, because of somebody's religious or political belief or social belief to bring people at war. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that if you start with the children and you know, tell the children that, you know, it's better to get along with these people, with each other, than to be at war with them. Yes, wrongs were done. You know, that our nation, you know, has not always been right. You know, we've done some wrong to some people. You can go back to the forming of the United States by settlers coming in and basically, you know, running into extinct the Native Indian. You know, what's up with that? You know, and then to be harboring, you know, hatred to others and forever. Same thing with the when the British came and the settlement colonies and these colonies separated from the British, and now we're, you know, the United States, and we're great allies with Britain because of a group of people who separated from Britain that you know, there was a fraction, and there was a war, and there was a turmoil with people that we'd rather get along with each other than to be at war with each other. It's better for us to be at peace with each other than to be at war. And so even with those two examples, it's a lot of distrust, a lot of hurt, it's a lot of pain, a lot of bloodshed, a lot of lives. But, you know, the two countries now exist, and they live at peace, and they're great allies because of reconciliation. You know, it's tough. It's tough, but it can be brokered. And so, you know, again, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're trying to just, you know, conjure up some thoughts of you know, how important reconciliation is, whether it's husband or wife, whether it's nations, how important it is. Can it continue to be an important resource? That's something we're still seeking, and we'd like to hear your opinion on it. So we're going to take another break, but when we come back from the break, if you want to be a part of this conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you. Hey. somebody like you, yeah.
And we're back. Thank you for holding through the break. Again, this is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Forestville, Maryland. Thanking everyone for tuning in tonight. Just want to give a shout out to all our very fine listeners. Thanking you for continuing to support us here at Pastors ACDC. It's been a blessing since April for all of the callers and everyone that texts in with us and everyone that goes to the archives and just continues to listen to the shows and support us. And we appreciate you very much. We give you a hand clap and a pat on the back. And a big shout out. Thank you for how you just continue to support us over the last month. And it's just a blessing to be able to come and see you through the radio, through the internet, and just share with some things that we believe are important to get you connected to for the wellness of our community. And, you know, just talking, having these conversations can generate and create that just by prompting thought to various topics. And we just invite everyone to continue to tune in. We're always on Friday nights, 7 to 9, as well as Sunday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. And if you would like to hear this show or any other in its entirety, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com / Pastors Aid and scroll down to the on-demand section, and you can hear the broadcast in its entirety. As a matter of fact, you can hear this broadcast in its entirety approximately 15, 20 minutes after the show by going to that website, www.blogtalkradio.com/PastorsAid, and scrolling down to the on-demand section, and you can hear tonight's broadcast in its entirety. Just like to encourage everyone to continue to go and check out our TNET pilot. We've been having a great time in Bible study. Last night we talked about grace. And, it was really, really good. So I invite you to go to the on-demand section and check out TNET's Pilot 10 with Sheila G and Pastor Dr. Gregory co-hosting. And check it out. It was a good program. We do that every Thursday night from 8 to 9. So if you want to be a part of that, also you can tune in from 8 to 9 on Thursday. And a great program. We're getting video together and putting it out on YouTube. You can look at T-Nuts on YouTube and check us out. We're going to have a lot of fun, but it's been a good program. And we're just thankful for God for everyone that just listens in and supports that also. So a lot of things going on in Pastor ACDC. Again, on the third Saturdays, we have a giveaway where we give away clothing and food and just trying to look at the needs of our communities and getting involved in our communities and trying to provide resources, connect people with resources in our communities and trying to do it for the wellness of the community. So we're just grateful for everyone who has caught the vision, everyone who continues to support us. We'll just continue to keep everyone informed on what's going on so you can be a part of it. Take some of the ideas that we bring out, take them back to your community, your church, or your work, or wherever you are, and then begin to be that resource that creates wellness in your community. So tonight we're talking about reconciliation. Is it still important? Is it reliable? Is it something that we should seek after? So if you want to be a part of the conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569, and we'll be glad to get you on. And you call that number if you want to talk to the host. Push 1, and we'll get you right in. But back to this reconciliation thing with countries. We talked about the United States with Japan. We talked about the British and the colonies that separated and eventually became the United States of America, and talked about husband and wife, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and talk about these countries becoming allies and no longer at war, these people who have reconciled and no longer at war, and, you know, the divorce rate, how many people are able to overcome infidelity in their relationships through reconciliation. But one of the most important things that that any person is seeking reconciliation with country, whether it's been a job or a relationship with the husband or wife, is that there needs to be a reconciliation with God. There needs to be a reconciliation with God to get back into the top of relationship with God, so we will know how to treat each other. And I believe if we have a proper relationship with God, then we would know how to treat each other and learn how to be reconciled with each other. Very difficult if you don't have that love of God or that relationship with God to be able to do that. And, you know, it's important that we learn how to do this, because without having the ability to reconcile, we will have to, and this is my thesis, live with each other at war and at turmoil all the time. And I don't believe that there's anyone that wants to live that way. I believe that the majority of the human race wants to live at peace with each other, because there's so many benefits to peace. You know, that's, you know, one of the things in the United States called with Japan and Great Britain. You know, peace is wonderful. As a matter of fact, you can't put a dollar amount on a peace of mind on living in peace. You can have a whole lot of things and a whole lot of money, a whole lot of drama. But when you have peace, it's priceless. It's priceless. And peace creates wellness. It creates a sense of calmness. It creates a sense of well-being that you can't put a price on. So many people would rather be at peace than be at war. And it comes through reconciliation, developing a relationship with God, developing a relationship with your husband or your wife, developing a relationship with your country, will definitely lean more toward peace. And when you lean more toward peace, then you're more open to reconciliation. And those type of things are what we should be seeking after. Those type of things are what we should really be trying to get involved with, and making sure that we take the effort on our part to bring it about, because it takes two, as they say, two to tangle. It takes two to bring it about. And when we recognize that, when we recognize that it's going to take some effort, it's going to take getting over it. Getting over it. Not easy. It's going to take some getting over it. But at the end of the day, that's a new term I hear everybody saying, you know, at the end of the day, reconciliation is still valuable. It's still something that we should seek after. It's still something that we should continue to strive, because at the end of the day, it's better to be reconciled than to be unreconciled. And, you know, you experience better things when you are reconciled, even though you have to work through it, even though it's a struggle, than if you remain unreconciled. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Glad everyone tuned in tonight. I'm going to go spend some time with my son tonight. We're going to end the show a little early tonight so we can go spend some time with him for his birthday. But it was a great show. We want to thank everyone that listened in and participated on this reconciliation thing. And we invite you to tune in on Sunday night. We're going to be interviewing Pastor Pastor G and Sheila G, and it ought to be a great program on Sunday. So we're going to sign off and go spend some time with my son for his birthday. But thanks for tuning in, and hope for you to tune in on Sunday night, 2079. That's going to do it for us tonight. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. And now that you have the resource,